The list of nicknames and titles for filmmaker John Waters is a long and legendary one. We won't read all of them, but Waters has proudly earned many of them, and he's responsible for cult hits like Pink Flamingos, Multiple Maniacs, and Polyester. Here's a clip of Johnny Depp in the film Crybaby.
I've never given a French kiss before.
Watch, it's easy. You just open your mouth, and I open mine. We wiggle our tongues together, and it feels real sexy.
Waters is more than a filmmaker, though. He's a writer, actor, fashion icon, stand-up comedian, art collector. He performs in Atlanta tonight with his one-man show, A John Waters Christmas, and joins me on the line. Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Can we talk first about what it is about Christmas in particular? Why Christmas is a good John Waters season?
Well, because it's such an extreme time. You know, you can't avoid it. It's like a tsunami wave coming at you. And I understand how people sometimes are offended when you say Merry Christmas to them. Maybe they don't believe in the virgin birth, you know. So I'm all for, I like Christmas. I had a great Christmas when I was young. They had Santa come to our community, and I recognized it was the man that lived up the street. I think they should have gotten somebody from another neighborhood. But I was kind of excited that I knew about the lie.
Whereas other people didn't? I mean, did you tell people?
I didn't go ruin it for people, no. I said to my parents, well, isn't that Mr. So-and-so? And they would go, well, he just works for Santa or something. You know, they made some lame excuse up. So it is really one of the first lies that parents tell their children. So you can't really complain when later in life they tell them drugs are bad and they don't pay any attention to them.
So your mother, your biographer says that your mother thought it was the puppets in the film Lily that had the biggest influence on your career to come.
That's probably true. I don't think I've ever met a film director that didn't have puppets when they were young.
Really?
But yes, no, they all had them. And later in life, all your actors say to you, we're not your puppets, you know, but they are. And I had a career as a puppeteer. I went on the Howdy Doody show. It was Lily, definitely, probably in the beginning, but Howdy Doody had maybe more to do about it because my uncle was connected in New York and got me to be on the Howdy Doody show in the Peanut Gallery, which at the time, that show was watched more than anything anybody watches on television today. And I remember seeing it and realizing it was another fake and a lie that I was drawn to show business because it was all a lie, really, and I liked being on the inside and knowing it. Same with Santa.
Yeah, and not telling them.
No, I didn't ever tell. And the only one I hated was the Easter Bunny because, to me, no one believes in that. When you see that, it's a new way to humiliate women. A man never plays the Easter Bunny in a mall, but they always have some poor woman in there. And there's even websites where they talk about that they can't even see the child and it's so hot in there often that they vomit inside the head of the Easter Bunny when they're talking to the children.
Let's take a clip from the movie you're probably best known for, and that's Hairspray. This is from the 1988 version, which you wrote and directed.
Hey, girl, what you doing over there?
Can't you see? I'm spraying my hair.
Let me tell you about the latest craze. Mama's hoping that it's just a phase, but I know it's gonna last forever. You gotta see the way it keeps my hair together.
Do you know when a project is gonna sort of hit?
Well, when I wrote Hairspray, the original movie, I never thought I had written anything more commercial or anything. When we got a PG rating, I thought my career was over. But when I did hear the musical for the first time, when Margot Lyon, the producer, took me in and just played some of the music, and I then saw the first table read, everybody thought this could be a giant hit, but everyone was afraid to say that out loud and jinx it. And people would say to us, really Broadway people, that advice really counted. The only thing you can do is screw this up. And so it was so together, so early in what happens with a musical that I found out later, but it spooked people because they didn't want to say it's done, and they kept trying different things and everything, even though what was originally done was the right version.
So how do you make a quality movie on so little money?
Well, you know, I don't think it's ever money. I think actually people have too much money now. $100 million movies that are all special effects, to me, they're science projects. They're not movies. I think bad special effects are more interesting, if you ask me. They're more engaging. So to me, I don't think money has to do with it. It's your idea. It's the writing. It's the characters. It's the people that are in it. Every kid makes their first movie now on a cell phone. I made it with a 8mm camera. It's the same thing. You make them with your friends. My friends were maybe a little more extreme, but my friends weren't really like those characters. People believed they were because the films were so poorly shot, they thought they were documentary snuff movies or something.
I want to play this comment from playwright Tennessee Williams, which I understand he's one of your role models. In this one, it's an interview in which he's talking about the admiration he had for the poet Hart Crane.
We both wrote out of an intense personal need.
Was he also homosexual?
Yes, he was indeed. And he made absolutely no disguise of the fact. But I don't think he gave a damn whether he shocked people. And I never cared whether I shocked people, because I think people who are shocked by the truth are not deserving of the truth.
That comment reminds me of you.
Well, Tennessee Williams was certainly brave. He was one of the first ones that ever just admitted he was gay. But what he said is what I believe in. Basically, he said gay is not enough. What Tennessee Williams wanted was bohemia, and that's what I wanted too. And bohemia is a mix of straight, gay, black, white, every race. So everybody knows what the other people that don't fit in are thinking. So it's still, I think we have too many gay people now. I joke on my Christmas show, I want people to come in and have to audition to be gay. We have enough. Please go back in the closet.
Not to take this to a more dark place, but...
That's not dark.
I'm about to take it on a dark
turn,
right. Sadly. Because, you know, that's almost, to me, the message of Hairspray is this embracing of diversity and different cultures. And we've gone the other way since you wrote Hairspray.
Well, I haven't. The government has. I don't think I have.
Well, but Americans in general have become more...
No, 33% of Americans this week have gone the other way.
You don't think Americans have become more tribal?
We got to make the other side laugh. If you want to change somebody's mind, you get them to laugh. So, and it's going to be tough at Christmas when everybody goes home because of politics this year. There's going to be a lot of trees knocked over. So I'm telling everybody to bring a political abuse whistle, and every time somebody starts talking about politics, just blow it, and people start laughing, and then they won't get on each other's nerves or knock over the tree in a fistfight.
Then let's talk about you as a not just a cultural icon, but a gay icon. This is a little clip of your appearance on The Simpsons, and this episode you play a gay store owner, and your character's sexuality makes Homer extremely uncomfortable, and you ask him about that.
Homer, what have you got against gays?
You know, it's not usual. If there was a law, it would be against it.
Oh, Homer, please, you're embarrassing yourself.
No, I'm not, Marge. They're embarrassing me. They're embarrassing America. They turned the Navy into a floating joke. They ruined all our best names like Bruce and Lance and Julian. Those were the toughest names we had. Now they're just... You
queer?
Did you ever regret becoming sort of the one of the spokespersons for the homosexual community?
Well, to me, no one ever had the nerve to ask me. I was on the cover of The Advocate, the gay paper, and it said America's most out director. They never asked me if I was gay. How dare you presume, you know? So it always used to make me laugh. People would say that, but they would be too afraid. It was like my parents. They thought the answer might be worse than gay. And once my father said, do you have to say you're gay in USA Today? That was the paper that his friends read. So I respected that wish. I said it everywhere but USA Today. That seemed fair. He paid for Pink Flamingos, and I paid him back. So seemed like a fair trade, and he was horrified, yeah.
Yeah, he'd seen Pink Flamingos?
No, he never saw it. To the day he died, he never saw it.
Did your mom?
Yeah, I think neither ever saw Pink Flamingos. They knew about it. You know, they couldn't really ever get away with it. But I don't know that I always say gaily incorrect things, too. So I always am for the minorities that can't even get along with their own minority. Those are my people. That's who'll be there tonight.
So, and it's interesting to me that you have maintained this relationship with so many of your Dreamlanders, I think you call them, so many of your talent, your actors, even crew and friends over a decades-long career, while we see that a very opposite thing happening very often.
Well, I judge people by if they have old friends. If you don't have any old friends, you must be a jerk, because old friends are what get you through life, and they're the people that count, not the people you meet in your job, not the people that tell you you're good, not your fans, but real old friends. And I do have them. I do, and I'm proud to say that.
So let's go back to what I really wanted to talk about, which was late people. Because
what people?
Late people. Because
late
you were
people.
Exactly on time, which is quite rare among celebrities. And I respect that.
I hate people that are late. It's rude. And it's also like I am very scheduled today. As soon as I hang up, I go into another meeting. So basically, my time is very well planned. So, yeah, I just don't wait. If I'm somewhere in the restaurant, I'll just get up and leave if you don't live there. I'm not waiting 5 minutes.
All right. So the reason you're coming to Atlanta is for the John Waters Christmas. Can you tell the audience what to expect?
Well, it's how to get through it. Really, I talk about everything. Criminals, I talk about Christmas presents, about gift cards, fruit baskets, the worst thing. How can somebody dare give me a pear for Christmas? So, you know, and gift cards, that just means you think the person's stupid, that, you know, they don't have any interest, so I can't think. I had to use a gift card once at Starbucks. It was so humiliating. Really. Oh, here, I have this. I can get some free coffee. It was just embarrassing to have to fill out more paperwork than getting food stamps.
It's hard for me even to imagine John Waters going to order a coffee at Starbucks.
Well, I'm in airports, you know.
Oh,
that's
right.
All they have,
of
right?
Of course, yeah.
So I think I talk about everything. I warn you that one thing, I have a criminal friend that told me that he used to go every Christmas Eve to graveyards and hide out. When people got out of the car to leave flowers, he'd steal their pocketbooks.
Oh, man.
So, well, criminals have to buy presents too at Christmas. So I'm just warn people of some of the things that can happen at Christmas.
It's almost a public service announcement.
That's, it is, yes.
That is filmmaker John Waters. He's in Atlanta tonight for his one-man show, A John Waters Christmas. Starts at 8 o'clock at the Variety Playhouse. You can get details at gpbnews.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.